some Metro Catahans in here.
I'm going to sing a song. One of the best, one of my favourite poems ever written, Raglan Road, by Patrick Cadman. So I'm going to give it a go. On Raglan Road, on an autumn's day, I saw her first that her dark hair would weave a snare, that I may one day rule. I saw the danger and the past along enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we tread lightly along the main of a deep ravine where can be seen the wart of passion aflame. The Queen of Hearts still beckons hearts, and I not making aid. Oh, I love too much, and by such is happiness thrown away. I gave her the gifts of mine, I gave her the secret sign that's known through the artist few have known, but to gods of sound and the stone, and words unspent without content, for she gave poems to say with her own main there and her own dark hair like clouds over fields of May. On a quiet street where old ghosts meet, I see her walking now. Away from me, so hurriedly, reasons must allow that I have loved not as I should, creature made of clay, where the angels woos a plague she'd lose her wings at the dawn of day.
Thanks a million, Mick. Please do come again so we have a song. Next we have Jerry Murphy's adopted mother, Mary O'Connell.
I'm going to try this. It's called Loss of Image, Loss of Sound. It's not about a television set that has broken down, but about the myth of Narcissus and Echo. It's a bit long. I hope it'll, well, anyway, so you can let it go. A splash. Echo races towards the bank. A sleek-headed otter cuts through the purling stream. She looks about her, wonders if the youth who has befriended her is near, and sees it too. No sign. For weeks, this gentle swain has spoken of his love of animals and plants as they roamed the woods together, has revealed the lair of foxes and where squirrels hide their grain, but of himself he has refused to speak. Not finding him, she joins the beaten track through the flower-filled valley where nymphs have made their home. When she describes a hale and handsome form, loose tendrils of dark hair that frame a fine-boned face, one nymph replies, "But everybody knows that radiant boy, the son of Sisyphus, the river god. Many of us crave his company, but he prefers to wander off alone." Echo looks down, not knowing what to say. Why was she singled out to share his lore? Wrapped in an afterglow, she muses, "It is perhaps the fact that she has access still to the Elysian fields his father walks." Of late, however, those Olympian heights have only brought her pain. Her bantering chatter had distracted Hera. Zeus was able to escape his jealous spouse, engage in further dalliance. Echo was unfairly blamed. Deaf to her supplications, Hera would exact a heavy price. As yet, there was no hint what that might be. Now, Echo, back on Earth, pushes black thoughts away. Since she has learned that her mysterious friend was none other than Narcissus, she will seek him out to voice her admiration, and so she sets off deep into the hills. She hears the sound of splashing, comes upon him, bending from a branch above a pool, eyes gazing fixedly into its mirrored sheen. Then both his arms plunge to the shimmering depths, but clasp at nothing. This happens many times. He seems distraught. She moves up closer to offer comfort, but when she tries to speak, there's not a sound. She makes to clear her throat, to call his name. Only the rattle of a magpie fills the air. Tears of frustration in Narcissus' eyes as he strides past her, unaware. a knife blade stabs her mind. Hero has cut out her tongue, leaving her voice a sigh.
Thank you. Mary Narcissus is an off lead. Now we have Deirdre O'Brien.
This is a poem about the burning of a block in a stove. One of those stoves for burning wood, not for cooking in. Stove. Ragged edges start to frizzle, tiny threads of tiny light, and ghosts come out to play, their blue heads round each corner peak in fragile flames of hide and seek. Steadily growing in yellow now are the swirling arms, and waves of orange sweeping forwards then retreating from the block. The block slips for the first time. Excitement builds as blustery gusts make flames disperse, go mad, livid, brighter as they dance by wind dictated rhythm. One solitary gasp expelled. Now they are ballerinas, graceful. They kiss lightly, they are a crowd, their bodies intertwined. Sway high and low by the gentle song breeze. The block slips for the second time. Rock face weathered, etched, healed back bark makes crevices for flames to play. Smaller now it is perched too high from the red coals. The dancers recede rapidly. It slips for the third time, and what a firework display of spitting sparks. It's just a shell, core as bright as stained glass in drenched sunlight. Finally, in one collapse, it breaks apart into seven pieces, reveals its core, prickled with white gold particles. One by one, each reach their intense peak and dissolve away. But some break free, and drifting upwards, rising like a poem from a deep, deep well, crystal clear and beautiful. Okay.
Thanks, Deirdre. And then we have Seamus Harrington.
Winter warmer, we had a conversation, John, and we talked about WB, so with apologies to fans of WB, but just imagine you were laid off from a confectioner's without your statutory entitlements of redundancy. So this, they're open, May Day 05. I do realise now it's time to blow my redundancy, and a fine night I'll kill there in a sea of bottles weighed. 19 small shots I'll have there until I barely see, then hit the fairground in the village glade. And I shall have a piece there, a piece for action, dropping low, rifle cocking to the wails of the morning where a pellet pings, where everyone's a skimmer, but a trick I've yet to show. Cause evening's full of winnet stings. I will rise and go now for always night and day. I hear cake slappers lapping like bloodhounds in the store, alone outside the gateway with placards little say, pacing on the steep hard core. Time. I'm just going outside, and maybe sometime we glance at one another in dismay. Nobody speaks. Dry-mouthed, I stare at the back door. In moments, our barman returns, rattling his bucket of ice. And this is about penalty points. Hard shoulder. The driver who broke every rule and quickly passed out every fool. 12 points later, with stirrup and gaiter on the bypass, hee-haw on his mule.
Very
would think that writers can write, but there's a few names down here that I would kind of don't even know what they are called. It looks like Mags. Is it Mags?
First name.
Okay, Mags. What's your second name?
I'm Mags Creighton, but I'm always Shane my bar name, so I go Mags Cuss.
Very good.
I go Mags Cuss.
Very good. Welcome to the open mic.
I tell you what to do though, that was fascinating. Okay, so tablet man. I'm not much of a tablet man. He speaks of a preference for printed pages. Happy the thoughts of the lover of calligraphy and the prose of lost Celt mystics enveloped in vellum. Slivers of leather slices and pressed kraken. It soaks in the mossy lichens, the wild strawberries and the blue gold cobalt. It drinks it thirstily. The stage for display of artistic linguistics. Coptic priests in Egyptian deserts, cave dwellers escaped the searing sun. They made their way to the western recesses with their gift of Christianity. Papyrus vessels and wreaths with bumps and crosses and ridges, aromatic Mesopotamian rushes like our straw. Bravo tip to misty rain soaked months. Now the paper press logs roll out, stealing vast forests, unmeasured treasures. Spare the page to save the trees, but can never be a tablet man. That's my own club. And low bones, I don't like radiation or CAT scan myself. Have been helped many. So, glow bones, my attempt at a high echo. It has too many CAT scans. Glowing in its bones, neatly filed in medulla, radiates and drones, stealing towards the cortex rim, accumulates stores. Lovely radiation swims in wave-washed shores. Children have had 45. Nukes keep them alive. But I say, look up EPA. DNA mutates. Tumor is humored and is prophesized in the speech. And it's one of old Patrick's days, I think. Do I leave it? I'll leave it. Lovely.
Bring it with me to next week now. Next up, Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Rosie. Got honey of affection. Perform thinner than ice, walks on the road to greet me. Over conversation and lunch, she invites me back. Dinner suits on and splash of cheap perfume. She tells me of one she's always loved. She tells me of trickery she used to catch him in her arms, like trees catch the wind in their branches. Sour, like a remembered kiss, I find myself in my own bed and to the soundtrack of wind rustling outside, I find the honey of affection wells within and keeps the spirit from splitting it away into soul and body to useless articles to the world at large.
Nice one,
Tricia. Now we have Michael Ray. Light in a darkened room. Would you care for some informal processing? She says. I shake away past failures, turn my erratic values over, recall a flower, a timber veranda, a red-haired girl, her blue-checked dress. But please remember, your memories are not invited. Her voice settles me. I tell her I have a job that keeps taking me away, leaves a wake of churning water. I spend a lot of time in lifts, surrounded by foreign people claiming air and making subtle hand signals inside their tall buildings, inside a city of syncopated noise. The background music is warm, with a perfumed beat, like drums turning in a laundrette. I forget what colour my eyes are when I look out across the miles of important glass, but I know I can turn them black when I press my palms against the window, pacing the coming storm. I am captain of an ungainly ship. I step to the side of every day, watch life drink my crew. I float back, think about her voice, and try to be mysterious. Discover mysterious means depressed. This is not just a shock of cracks, more a sudden scattering of light.
I always feel like I want to put a lot of space around your homes. It's hard to kind of go from that into something else. And next up, the beard. He can do it. The beard can do it. I'm not having
it. Well, Martin's beard's not a shame. This is like, should have put it on with Velcro, then it would have been like a fake beard.
Yeah, I'll talk to him about that.
An Irish picnic. Maroon Renault 4, marooned in a scenic point car park by the lake. Not that you can see the lake. Fingertip drumming on the roof, a metronomic beat signaling no hope for the day. Plan B chips rising, vinegar mist fogging the windscreen. Streaks of rain form an impressionist landscape, all soaking into the mossy sills.
Thanks, John. And now we have Jim Pickard.
Yeah.
Jim Pickard. Apologies.
Called Picket Fence Grave. Oh, how life should be, find the second part of your heart, on a new life with them embark, to impregnate, work late, provide, give yourself identity, define, then smile at your creations till you wrinkle at the eyes, breathe in, then sigh, this is the life. Meanwhile, oxygen, like a pickaxe, works at the collagen of my smiling skin. The sun, then moon, pour their light on my living room. A cycle of light, an axe of oxygen, spinning and picking, clock faces ticking. I have come to my deathbed, suns and moons have come and gone, and I ask myself why it still feels wrong. Death solemnly sits in focus, holding her scythe replies, must you always be an opus? Can't you see, my dear, that bag of life you chased is what it buys. Your falsity I despise, it hurts my eyes. She stands up from her chair to flick a white shock of hair. Her heels clack progress, she moves towards my bed, only to quietly say, I do apologise, I do not despise, but darling, your whole life drifted by. I have come to bestow your final kiss, but first let me tell you of emptiness. Le visage of Madame Dumour, mushroom grey and speckled in yellow. She's hollow-eyed with a stitched-up smile. Looming over the head of my bed, she takes my hand as smoke bursts. A flash of black and then we're back. We walk together along a path, blind in silent trees and graves. It is all black and grey. It is bitterly cold and deathly silent. The moon winks a bone-pale opalescence from the black cotton darkness of the starless wintry sky. She looks to the trees that line the lonely dark street. They bathe in lemon pools of light. The tall, meditative crypt keepers stand in contemplative silence, unmoved for decades, sounds of their breathing only. We reach my soon-to-be tomb. Fermez la porte, she says. Voilà ton corps. This core, a little box, it's empty, black inside. Hear nothing, only sounds of lungs breathing. Let this silence be insight. Remember, believe in the light. Like the meditative crypt keeper trees, we breathe silently. Now you see, death is eternity. It is but an extension of the now. reason be not to crowd happiness, as it will kill the silence of sound, the grabbing, the snatching, the hook tight attaching. Thoughts only of this black cloud that enshrouds this silence so loud. In the blackness there is a certain truth. Being there is hearing. It is only breathing air of this precious moment without a single meaning. We breathe silently as trees. To be is destiny. I turn to death, face to face we stand. Faint glow in the hollow of her eyes. Two resting fireflies. Quietness, not even whispering. We kiss.
Well done, Jim. Next we have Ben Kingston.
This is called Slates Dripping. Warm pockets keep safe hands. Grass taking his weight with sinking strength alongside the ditch's din. Once vibrant daffodils din murmured in the dark. Slates dripping, it's a rainy hazy night, droplets hopping like a swarm of mites. The path grows wider, wet light moves rich and grand, shifting and bouncing as each new drop lands. Daring to fill the mirth of still cold earth, he holds his breath, moaning to be awake, cushions burdens quick.
Who could guess there is a man who tries to keep the world spinning in sync? That man is lonely, with others revolving permanently, almost in reach. That man wants himself immortal, his memory timeless, the timelessness. So, readily, he usurpates the knowledge of time immemorial, plunges his hand in blood and filth. He sees the mean to his greed as a craft, justifying his timing with history, repeating itself, dust before his dawn. Should the alarm ring early, he would draw a new draft. Accurate clothsmith, he leans over the mechanic, looking down on the cogs and pieces, nameless shapes placed toward the magic. His work requires constant concentration, which in turn calls isolation. When the times are hard, we need to consider a friend. It is lonely at the top. Judging from the distance is easy. Would you believe that the man who keeps the clock ticking is the one who needs a hand? Let's think ourselves lucky. We get our existence to waste with loved ones, significant others, and family. They do not get to rest. They are not more at fault than we are. We are all the same. For 15 minutes of shame or glory, some of us will go far. But when comes the last hour, they, like us, will have no one else to blame.
Thanks, Cedric, and now for the mumbler down the back. Rather part. All
right. I put my name there in a rush of enthusiasm and I didn't really know what I was going to do, and I still don't know all these lawyers down the back have been talking to me and I'm all confused. So we'll go back to punk poetry from the 80s. Come get a mortgage. Houses built from cardboard with garages stuck on. You're a bunch of silly fuckers and you're all being conned. But never mind that. Come get a mortgage. Dance the Barrett way. Not built for tomorrow. Just shown up today. Nigel bought a wimpy house. He thought he was a toff. The day the guarantee ran out, the fucking door fell off. But never mind that. Come and get a mortgage. Danced about it. We not built for tomorrow. Just shown up today. Johnny had a party. He invited all his kith and kin. And when they started dancing, the fucking floor fell out. But never mind that. Come and get a mortgage. Danced about it. We not built for tomorrow. Just shown up today. 10-year building guarantee on a 25-year mortgage. You know, one of the biggest home building companies in Scotland is called Hassel Homes. What do you think when you get when you buy a Hassel home? Oh, it's a hassle. But never mind that. Come and get a mortgage, dance about it, way, not built for tomorrow, just thrown up today. Hey.
He's cheeky, but we're all in love him. Next up, Frankie Griffin.
Alright. I said the hair like the following. This is a poem of frustration and anger, more than anything. Observed from a window on a hot street in Sunder in the rain. It's called McCorkle Street Laments. Porcelain beauty serves me up a coffee while a mediocre local tenant screams jaded tunes from the speaker over my head. Traffic flowing easily, Sunday morning deadness, searching for answers in this casbah of coffee shops, discount stores, fast food mania. Wandering strangers from another world, smiling contented. I'm lost in my own city, watching it fall again. The jaded tunes still churning out. My coffee's lost its sweetness. The couple packing on the street. He walks hunched to one side. She grasps his hand as the icy wind cuts right through. My cigarette loses its glow, playing dead in my hand. I struggle and fumble in my pocket to find my lighter. Reignite. Another guy walks past, nodding his head in agreement with himself, muttering, replaying a painful thought perhaps lodged inside his head. Foreign tongues swarm upon my silence. Somebody please change the fucking tune. On McCorkle Street, once known as King Street, where brave-blooded Irishmen and women won it back. There are relics to these people scattered all over this land. In every grave there, buried in sand, my blood, your blood. So please lower your foreign tongue, show some fucking respect. You're a visitor in this once great land where Vikings stopped long before your mouth ever sipped from a cup.
All right. Chill out there now. Last up, we have Stanley Old. Not so old, but that's his name.
Yeah, as if it isn't hard enough to follow Rav and Frankie, then she gives me that name in my introduction. I'm not even sure what my own names are for that. Okay, so I suppose again, what I do is I take bands or song titles from certain bands and compose pieces of writing from. This one's from the Arctic Monks. I'm heading towards 50 shortly, and I've never really been worried when I'm getting old. I sail through 30 and I sail through 40. But the last couple of years, I don't know, I'm just kind of thinking how the world changes as you get older. But my interest in music kind of keeps me slightly in touch with the younger generation. And the Arctic Monkeys is a very interesting band for me. In that sense, they write really interesting stuff about what young people do. So I thought, what if I thought about that? I kind of wrote it from my point of view now. So this is it. Curtains close when the sun goes down, and temptation greets you like a naughty friend. A red light indicates doors are secured, pretty visitors sticking to the floor. And fake tales of San Francisco scream, I bet you look good on the dance floor. Cigarette smoke and a certain romance, watch bigger boys and stolen sweethearts. But the only ones who know
leave before the lights come on, and the riot man can't find the secret door behind the bakery. Curtains close when the sun goes down, and this house is a circus. So dance, little liar, dance, because when temptation greets you like a naughty friend, the bad thing won't settle for a draw. Despite the fact I'm getting old, even when I was younger, I was fascinated with what artists and musicians and even footballers did when they got older. And as I'm getting older, I'm realising that generally they just kind of keep doing whatever it is they do, because they kind of have to. So this is actually about Beyonce, and I was kind of thinking about and she's a diva, you know? So I kind of wondered, what would she say if you asked her what she'd do if it all disappeared? Listen, after all is said and done, my heart still beats. I'm fighting temptations, resentment, ego, and crazy feelings too. See, a woman like me, a hip-hop star, a diva, is scared of being lonely, has flaws, and all that I'm looking for is me, myself, and I. So if I can't take it no more, or disappear from the radio, if the Diamonds, Halo, and Video Phone Party say, I'm leaving, it's all over, I'll put it all in a love song and sing to the end of time.
Nice one, Sally. You might be getting older, but you're obviously a learner in some departments. Judging by the interesting badge you have rather strategically placed in a certain area of your clothing. It was at eye level. It was at eye level. I couldn't help it. Right. But you're never too old to learn something new. That was the end of our open mic, but I'm just getting a little wink from the lady in front of me. I don't know your name. What's your name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
I wasn't going to read because last time I read I actually gave myself an asthma attack. But I was chatting to Deirdre and Mags and thought, oh, fuck it, might as well. So this one was published in Southwood as well, I think it's 2012, so the Book of Us. I ask you to lie down at my knees. Let me scribe this poem onto your body, tanned as calfskin. I cover you in lime, leave you in the sun to dry. Drag a lunar knife from throat, over chest, ripe mound of thigh, to bauble of ankle. Now you are truly naked. I douse a peacock feather in copper green ink, scratch our cursive tail onto your hide, the final word unpunctuated. I ask my skin to lie down beside you, pull you gently onto me, make an imprint of this poem on my stomach and breasts, encourage your tongue against mine, swathe my bones with yours, blurring the ink, our touch vellum, smudging our own gospels.